The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
We turn the sacred scripture this evening to Ephesians chapter 6. We read Ephesians 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the day of evil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." That is the word of God, inspired and true. The text for the sermon is verse 15. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, having celebrated the Lord's Supper this morning, we are rejuvenated and strengthened for our Christian life, which according to the Scriptures is one of ongoing spiritual warfare. We continue our applicatory series this evening on spiritual warfare as it's found presently in Ephesians chapter 6. And tonight we stand before this 15th verse and examine the footwear that we must have on ourselves for battle. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The meaning and application of the passage is a bit difficult to grasp, at least upon an initial reading. It's not immediately clear on a first reading what the Spirit has to say here to the believers in the church at Ephesus. First of all, we have to understand the footwear, the sandal. That piece of armor, or better, that article of the Roman soldier's clothing that the Apostle Paul has in view here is the sandal. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Have on your feet, the idea is here, a sandal. The children probably know, but if they don't, or otherwise, they need to be reminded that in the time of the scriptures, people didn't wear shoes as we think of shoes today, and certainly the soldiers didn't wear combat boots, but all those who wore something on their feet wore sandals, a sole with a few leather straps. But what does a sandal have to do with warfare? How does a sandal help the soldier in battle? It's not so immediately clear. The sword, well, that's easy. The shield, that's easy. But what about the sandal? Some people think that the phrase, and your feet shod with, includes the greaves. The greaves are a protective covering from the sandal upward on the lower leg toward the knee. But the apostle does not have greaves in view here, and that's indicated by that verb, shod, which literally means to bind under. And all that is in view here, then, is the sandal, that which is bound under the feet. But what about the sandal, then, the soldier's sandal? What does that have to do to warfare? How do we understand that? That's a question. In the second place, if the figure is shod your feet with sandals, then the spiritual reality is having our spiritual feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the sandal. That's what you put on your feet. The preparation of the gospel of peace. But what is that? Truth. That's the girdle. Righteousness. That's the breastplate. Faith. That's the shield. Salvation. That's the helmet. The Word of God, that's the sword. The preparation of the gospel of peace, that refers to the footwear. But what is that? What is the preparation of the gospel of peace? Thirdly, what makes the text difficult is one immediately calls to mind another passage in Scripture that uses the same language, and that is Isaiah 52, verse 7, which is quoted in Romans 10, verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And that text can be a danger, as it is for some, because they make too much of that text in the interpretation of this text and start applying the text to the minister of the gospel and to the call to send out the preaching, and then one misses the calling to the individual Christian in his own life of spiritual warfare and misses the whole context of warfare for the individual believer. In the fourth place, what makes the text difficult is that there are a goodly number of concepts. Peace. There is then the gospel of peace. There is also the preparation of the gospel of peace. There is the foot. There is the footwear for the foot. There is the activity of shodding, putting the footwear on the feet. Shod the feet with the sandals of the preparation, of the gospel, of peace. There are a lot of concepts, and how do you put them all together? It makes the text difficult to understand, at least upon a first reading, and then putting that all in the context of spiritual warfare. Well, before we jump right into the text and the sermon formally, by way of introduction yet, let's take a few moments to answer some of these questions so that before we get right into the text, we have a clear understanding of how we will proceed this evening. Let's begin with that sandal of the Roman soldier. It is an instrument of motion. It is an article of clothing that the soldier wears to facilitate and to promote motion, mobility. The sandal is not a defensive weapon, not like the shield or the breastplate. No soldier puts on a sandal to help guard himself against some mortal blow. Besides, what enemy is aiming his spear at the soldier's foot? Not a defensive weapon. It's not an offensive weapon either, like the sword is. No soldier goes to battle thinking he'll take his sandal and hurl it at an enemy. Or no soldier goes to battle thinking he's going to kick his way to victory. It's not an offensive weapon either. But the sandal's like the girdle, the belt. It is an instrument that serves the offensive and defensive weaponry. It makes the use of the offensive and defensive weaponry more effective. The sandal is all about movement. In fact, many of the sandals were studded with little spikes, good for standing and moving and standing one's ground and moving. Just think of the battlefield for a moment. Sometimes the battle quickly shifts this way or it quickly shifts that way. And how will the soldier be able to react to the quick shifts and keep wielding his sword if he does not have proper footwear? Sometimes the soldier has to march for long distances, and he will need proper footwear in order to be able to endure the march and keep on fighting. Sometimes he has to jump over gins and traps. Sometimes he has to cross paths with all kinds of sharp little stones and briars and thorns. Sometimes he has to climb slippery slopes. Sometimes he has to fight on frozen tundra or on blistering hot sun. How will he be able to stand his ground and move effectively and stand his ground and move and wield the sword and the shield? Except he have proper footwear. If he can move effectively, then he can use the sword and the shield in battle. So the sandal is an instrument for movement for the soldier. The spiritual sandal that we put on now, according to the text, is the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word preparation could better be understood, preparedness or readiness. For preparation calls to mind an activity. It's the activity of getting something ready, but it's not ready yet. Like the woman in the kitchen who's busy working on the supper, she's in the work of preparation. She's getting it ready. That's not really the idea in the text. A better word is preparedness or readiness, because that's not an activity, but that's a state of being ready. Like the supper, which is now sitting on the table, it's ready. The text is speaking of the preparedness or the readiness of the gospel of peace. And we'll say this later, but we say it now already. It's referring to the readiness that is worked by the gospel of peace. The readiness that is produced by the gospel of peace. That's what the phrase, the preparation of the gospel of peace, refers to. Having then our feet shod with these sandals, we are able to do battle against the devil. Well, let's consider then the text under the theme, feet shod for battle. First, the footwear itself, and then in the second place, the value of it, and third, putting it on. As we've noted, the spiritual sandal with which we must shod our feet is the preparation or the preparedness of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The gospel is literally the good news. And the good news or the gospel is the authoritative declaration of what God has done in Jesus Christ for our salvation. That's the gospel. The gospel is not a well-meant offer of peace, whereby God proclaims, I sincerely desire peace with you if you will only accept my offer. That's not good news. If the gospel in its news ever depends upon the will and work of the sinner for the accomplishing of salvation, then it's bad news. The gospel is not a conditional promise of peace. I, God, sincerely promise to you peace if you will turn away from your sins and come receive my peace. That's not good news. That's bad news, for salvation depends upon the work and will of the sinners. The good news of the gospel is the authoritative declaration of what God Himself, through Jesus Christ, has accomplished for the salvation of sinners. The gospel that's declared the world over for the salvation of God's people is the message of what God has done. Well, what does the gospel proclaim? What is the reality that's set forth in the gospel and the reality then that the Holy Spirit takes and effectually works in the hearts of believers? According to the text, peace. The gospel of peace. The gospel is the good news of peace. The gospel is the authoritative declaration of the peace that God has accomplished through the blood of the cross. The gospel is the revelation of peace which the Holy Spirit takes and works in the hearts of believers. And the peace is peace with God. And that's vital. The good news of the gospel is peace with God. The distressing truth is that by nature we are at war with God. We are against the Almighty. We are enemies of the Most High, and God never loses. God's never defeated. If we remain the enemies of God, we will be destroyed everlastingly because God always has the victory. And who of us has the power to change our own hearts by nature so that we can become the friends of God and live in peace with God? It's utterly hopeless. But listen to the gospel of good news. I, Jehovah God, in my eternal love for you, declare unto you, I have peace with you and you have peace with me through the blood of the cross because I, Jehovah God, have given my only begotten Son whose body was broken as you saw on the table this morning and whose blood was shed for the accomplishment of peace with me. And I, Jehovah God, take my Holy Spirit who takes this reality of peace proclaimed in the gospel and He pours it into your hearts so that your hearts overflow with peace with me, Jehovah God. Indeed, the peace that the gospel proclaims is peace that the Holy Spirit puts in the hearts of believers who believe the gospel by faith, so that the child of God does say, I have peace. I've been reconciled to God. I live in peace with Him, with God. With the God who is perfect peace in Himself eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. With the God who made the whole universe. With the God who sits enthroned in the heavens, working all His good pleasure in all the creation. With the God who is a consuming fire and will destroy all the workers of iniquity. With the God who sent His only begotten Son for the accomplishment of peace with His elect people. I have peace with that God. And no believer ever declares, I have peace with God because I made peace with Him. Or because I accepted His offer. Or because I fulfilled some condition. But the believer is silent. He says nothing. And he hears the good news. That's the gospel. The good news. The declaration of what God has done in Jesus Christ in the accomplishment of peace. And by faith he believes it and it becomes his own. So that his heart is full of peace and tranquility among all the distresses of life. The believer has peace with God through the gospel of peace. One outstanding positive effect of the gospel of peace and how it affects the believer's life is that it positively affects his life of relationships with other people, namely with God's people. Peace with God is also peace with God's people. Now, the gospel is not, first of all, the declaration of peace between Jew and Gentile and between those of different races and nations and men and women and brethren and sisters. It's the declaration of peace with God. But where there is peace with God through the reconciling power of the cross of Jesus Christ, there will be peace between Jew and Gentile. There will be peace between those of different races and nations and men and women. Peace with God's people. There will be. When the believer has peace with God, he hears the proclamation of the gospel and its message of peace. He has that peace poured into his heart by the Holy Spirit. And he also hears the exhortation of the gospel of peace. And its exhortation is, you who live in peace with God, live in peace with God's people through the confession of your sins and through forgiving the sins of others as you have been forgiven in the blood of Christ. You have peace with God? That comes in the way of confessing sin and receiving forgiveness. You have peace with God's people? You want peace with God's people? That comes in the way of confession of sin and forgiveness. The gospel declares that too. That's one of the exhortations of the gospel. Live in peace. That's not the gospel of man or the gospel of society, the gospel of the world. The gospel of man says nothing about sin. The gospel of society says you're not right with someone. Well, you need a little compromise here. And you need to overlook some differences there. And you need to look at the bright side of things and work with some of the things you've got. Now, there might be a little truth to all of that. But the gospel says you're not right with someone. That means there's sin. And the exhortation of the gospel is, God has reconciled you to Himself through the blood of the cross, and now having peace with God, confess your sins and forgive as you've been forgiven through the power of Christ. And that's the way of peace. Where there's peace with God, there is peace with God's people. The gospel of peace is the proclamation and the giving of the peace that God has accomplished for us through Jesus. The gospel of peace. The text speaks of what we call the preparedness or the readiness of the gospel of peace. As we noted, that refers to the preparedness that this gospel of peace we have just explained works, that this gospel of peace gives. And that's the revelation of the text. The gospel of peace works this readiness so that when God declares peace in the gospel and the Spirit pours that peace into the heart of the believer, he's prepared now. He's ready to fight. And if he doesn't hear the gospel and he doesn't believe the gospel of peace and he doesn't have peace with God, he doesn't have peace in his heart, then he's not ready to fight. No peace, no war. Yes? No peace, no war. A seeming contradiction, a paradox. If you don't have peace, you won't have any war. But where there's peace, there will always be war. The gospel of peace works a readiness and preparedness so that we're ready and able to fight the devil. And that is our sandals. Our sandal, that's our footwear. That preparedness, that's our footwear. When we have those sandals shod upon our feet as readiness to the gospel of peace, now we can go out on any terrain and with the sword and the shield and fight Satan and the whole dominion of Satan and all wickedness. The footwear for our spiritual warfare is the preparedness worked by the gospel of peace. Tremendous is the value of this footwear. The value that we have in our spiritual warfare with our feet shod with these sandals can be expressed tonight for ease of understanding with three C's. Three C's. Number one, first, value of the sandals, a close relationship with God. Having the peace of the gospel, we have a close relationship with God, knowing that all of our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. We know something about our sins and how they bring disunity and enmity between us and God. But we know through the gospel, all those sins have been taken away. The guilt has been removed and we've been reconciled to God so that we're close to Him. We have a living relationship of communion with God in the covenant. We are His people and He is our God. We're close to Him in fellowship, and all that through the gospel of peace. Now imagine going to war against Satan without a close relationship to God. That's the value of these sandals. Imagine going to warfare without sandals, a close relationship to God. Satan always wants us to doubt, and he wants us to question. And he's the great nocturnal predator. And you all know that from experience. He likes to attack at night, doesn't he? Because then it's dark. And it's quiet. And often we're alone and our senses are dulled. And perhaps we're drifting in and out of sleep. We're not fully aware of things, and that's right when he comes into our minds to get us to start thinking over all those sins. So that he can raise the question, are you really saved? Do you really have salvation? And how is anyone going to withstand this great nocturnal predator if he or she does not have on the sandals of the preparedness of the gospel of peace and therefore does not have a close relationship to God through the gospel of peace. How will anyone even be able to grab a sword and use the sword and wield the shield of faith? But when we have on our feet the preparedness of the gospel of peace, through which gospel we have this close relationship with God, and Satan comes to us to attack us and to get us to question and to doubt, we can say to him, "Get behind me, Satan." We can use the sword, or we can deflect his arrows and his javelins with the shield. Without slipping and sliding, we're ready to meet him and to fight him. "You cannot frighten me. I have peace with God. The gospel of peace declares it to me, and I believe it by faith, not because of what I've accomplished, not because I fulfilled a condition, not because I've accepted an offer, but because I believe what God has done." And having a close relationship with God, we're able to drive him away. Imagine going to war against the old man of sin, who's so attracted to all that is worldly and opposed to God, without a close relationship to God. That is, without the readiness of the gospel of peace. How is the man going to be ready when the temptation to look at the woman and lust comes, if he doesn't have anything on his feet? And therefore, he doesn't have a close relationship to God. How is the woman going to be ready when she just heard some news? And here comes the temptation to gossip. How is she going to be ready if she doesn't have on the sandals, which are the readiness of the gospel of peace, whereby one has a close relationship to God? But if our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that we have a close relationship with God, and the temptation arises to look in lust or to spread in gossip, we say, "No! We're ready. We're ready for that spear, that javelin of temptation." And we lift up the shield and deflect it away. We're ready because we have a close relationship with God. I would never do this and bring displeasure to my covenant God. A close relationship with God. That's the value of the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace. In the second place, the value of this footwear for the Christian soldier is courage amid all trouble. Courage. There's all kinds of trouble in the world, and we're surrounded by it on every side. And in our spiritual warfare, the devil uses all the troubling circumstances as occasions to tempt us to fear, to be seized in fear, to be incapacitated in terror. Because when we're so overwhelmed with fear, then we're not very good soldiers and we're easy targets. And he can lob ever so almost carelessly, casually, start lobbing spears and javelins and darts at us when we're so full of fear, we're not ready to stand against temptations. The value of having our feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace is that peace in our hearts works courage. Courage. We've already referred to Isaiah 52, verse 7. Let's quote it now. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." There it is. What exactly does the gospel of peace proclaim when it's uttered by he whose feet are beautiful because he preaches that gospel of peace? O Zion, thy God reigneth. That's what the gospel of peace says. And the Holy Spirit takes that reality and he puts it in the heart of the believer. O Zion, thy God reigneth. He is absolutely sovereign in Jesus Christ. Now there's courage. Though the billowing waves of the sea roar and they pound against the shore, though the mountains shake and be carried away into the depths of the sea, though there are troubles and hardships that round the believer swell, though his whole body tremble violently in severe illness, though death encamps around the city, and though death may steal into the camp and take the believer's loved one, though hosts make war on every side, though the kings and the nations and governments and magistrates and laws and mobs take counsel with all kinds of lobbyists and advocacy groups against the Lord's anointed and against his church and against his people, and though Satan come and use all of these troubling circumstances as spears and javelins and darts of temptation to get the believer to become incapacitated in terror, he doesn't fear. He doesn't fear. His heart is not moved. Because he has shod on his feet the readiness of the gospel of peace, which has declared unto him and which the Holy Spirit has effectually worked in his heart. O Zion, thy God reigneth. That's all he knows. That's all he needs to know. O believer, thy God is sovereign in Jesus Christ and working all of these circumstances for the good of Zion and for your salvation. And through that gospel of peace, courage. He's able to stand and fight against the devil in his warfare. If the gospel proclaims anything other than a sovereign God, there's no peace for Zion. Zion's peace is found in the absolute sovereignty of her God who reigneth, and that gives courage. A close relationship with God. Second, courage amid all trouble. And third and finally, the great value of the Christian soldier's footwear is concord. Concord with God's people. As we noted, the gospel of peace not only brings peace between the believer and his God, but it brings peace between believers, between God's people. Chapter 4 of this epistle of the inspired apostle to the church at Ephesus deals with the relationships of believers in the congregation. That's chapter 4. The second half and latter part of chapter 5 deals with the relationship between a husband and wife in marriage. The beginning of chapter 6, which we read, deals with the relationship between children and parents and concludes with the relationship between master and servant in the workplace. The gospel of peace is the power of concord in all of these relationships. But now take off the soldier's footwear once and see what happens. Let him go to battle against the devil and all the forces of wickedness with bare feet. Without the readiness of the gospel of peace, which brings peace with God and peace with others. When there is no gospel of peace and there's no faith in the gospel of peace, And when there's no obedience to the exhortation of the gospel of peace, then there is no concord among brethren. There's no concord among spouses. There's no concord among parents and children. There's no concord among master and servant in the workplace. But there is discord between brethren, husband and wife, parents and children, master and servants. And when there is discord, then all in the various relationships are so susceptible to the attacks of the devil. And the believer is not ready. He's not prepared for war. And one little word or one seemingly minor incident is going to set off great strife and discord and more fighting. But look at the value of the footwear of the readiness of the gospel of peace, which brings peace with God. And when one has peace with God, he says, "Oh God, thy will is my will, and thy will is that I live in peace and concord with all, in all relationships, by confessing my sins, and for Jesus' sake, forgiving others their sins against me." That gospel of peace works concord in relationships, peace and unity and oneness and fellowship. And then the believers are ready to fight. Now they can face all the onslaughts of the devil. When the believer has on the sandals, he can stand his ground and move and stand his ground in the church and move and stand his ground in marriage and move and stand his ground in the family relationships of parents to children and move and stand his ground in the workplace and move. And he's ready with the shield. And here comes the dart of the temptation of bitterness and anger and jealousy and sarcastic words and hatred. And he wields a shield, deflecting all those arrows, because he's ready. Why is he ready in his relationships? Because he has on the footwear of the preparedness of the gospel of peace, which has as one of its outstanding values concord with God's people. How important then that we put on these sandals, the preparedness of the gospel of peace. Before the soldier goes to war, before he even picks up the sword, and before he grabs his shield, he goes into the tent in the camp and he carefully straps on his footwear. And that's what the believing child of God does in the worship service of God in the sanctuary, which is also a kind of camp in the midst of the battlefield. We come here tonight to have our feet shod with the preparedness of the gospel of peace by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, obeying the gospel. We're shodding our feet right now, or to put it in better terminology, God Himself, the sovereign God, is through the gospel shodding our feet. And how beautiful that this morning we not only had the gospel of peace, but the Lord God gave the sacrament which confirms the gospel of peace. And through the gospel, the peace of God is poured into our hearts, and our knowledge of that peace is given to us as we eat and drink of the Lord's Supper. Peace with God, communion with God's people. The sandals of the soldier are put on us by God. Without the gospel, we will have no footwear, and it will not bode well for us. If we don't have the gospel of peace, then we are going to spend all of our time on the battlefield slipping down this slope and running across that path and getting a thorn in our foot. And pretty soon we're sitting alongside the battlefield whining and sobbing as we have to pull these thorns and briars out of our feet. And next thing we know, we have an infection. And pretty soon we're being carried off into the tent to have our foot amputated because we never put on our sandals and we weren't ready to go to war. And while all this is going on, look who's standing on the knoll up above and ever so casually hurling spear and dart and javelin of temptation after temptation. And the child of God who didn't put on his sandals doesn't have the gospel of peace and is not ready. He's subject to all these temptations and falling into sin and overwhelmed with fears and doubts. Our calling is to live with the gospel of peace, to hear the gospel of peace, believe the gospel of peace, obey the gospel of peace. That's the shodding of our feet. The devil loves to make war with those who reject the gospel, who say they don't need the gospel. And the explanation is, I know I'm engaged in spiritual warfare with the devil, but I have my Bible. And isn't that the sword of the Spirit? But you're barefoot. How are you going to wield the Word of God as the sword in battle when you're slipping down slopes and running across traps and briars without the footwear of the preparedness of the gospel of peace? The devil loves to make war with those who corrupt the gospel of peace and with those who embrace the corruption of the gospel of peace as a gospel of a general love of God for all mankind. He loves to make war with those who say, we will shod our feet with a new gospel. He loves to make war with those who shod their feet on the Lord's Day with television programs and movies and athletic events on the Sabbath. They're easy. That's easy pickings. That makes it so simple for the devil to wage war, but it's altogether another matter for Satan when the child of God faithfully hears the gospel, believes the gospel, obeys the gospel with the power of the Spirit within him through which his feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that we do. And even have the confirmation of the gospel of peace today through the Lord's Supper, having our feet shod with the preparedness of the gospel of peace. We are ready to withstand the devil in the evil day of which the text speaks. The day when Satan comes for you and to me. And that's every day we are ready for him and have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And to him be all glory now and forever. The captain of our salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit who inspired the Scriptures and for the frequent call of the Scriptures to us to engage in spiritual warfare. That's something that even now in our regenerated state and as those of faith is sometimes difficult for us to embrace. That we are actually in warfare. We don't always think in those terms, O God. Too often we're amusing ourselves in the playground of this world, and we need the reminder of the Word of God and its effectual power in us to equip us to a life of spiritual warfare, which is hard. We confess that before thee tonight. The war is difficult. The old man of sin is so powerful and he never gives up. And we're always wrestling with our besetting sins. Oh God, encourage us and pour into our hearts tonight peace with thee. May that be the power whereby we are able to stand against all the enemies of darkness. Lord, give us the victory. We believe we have it already in Jesus Christ. That in principle, give us the perfect and complete and ultimate victory in the day of Christ when He will come in the clouds of glory and demonstrate His almighty power. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In His name we pray. Amen.